chapter 13 of 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. While you're turning, we'll start. When many people who know and how to manage and handle a company, big organization, or troops, when they face a trouble in their own home, they don't know how to handle it and they are utterly lost. The dynamics of handling home and handling the organization are very different. Because in our workplace, we can put up our good side, the side we want other people to know about. But when we come to our own home, somehow we let our hair down, and then the people will, in our home will see the true side, true color of our intention. That means they rather know us well. Another reason why the dynamics of the home at home is much different than at workplace is that we are involved, not only physically, but emotionally is also involved. When the storm rages, the best place to be is in home, away from the strong wind, away from the cold and rainy things, like today, tonight. Unless blizzard is inside the home. Cold, chilling heart or pounding tempest of the rebellion inside the home can be quite to make us to be like a wordless, and we don't know how to say or we don't know how to handle. Sometimes it's worse than having a storm outside. Because a lot of times we were careless about our relationship with God and our relationship with the individual in our family member, and we tend to face the consequences of our carelessness. Keep your finger right there, and let's go to Hosea chapter 8, please. Hosea chapter 8. I'll give you about 15 minutes to find Hosea in the Old Testament. It's in close to the New Testament area, right before Joel, right before Joel. That helps you a lot, right? Where is Joel? Who knows where is Joel, right? In your page number, 1491. There we go. Chapter 8, verse 7 of Hosea. Hosea 8:7. Some of you guys know this by heart. They saw the wind and rip the whirlwind. They saw the wind and rip whirlwind. King is no exception to this principle, and David is finding out. He saw the wind with Bathsheba. Now he's ripping whirlwind with his family. Before we look at the tragic series of the consequences of David's sin and David and Bathsheba's sin in David's home, let's have a firm grasp of a principle about this stark and enduring truth that Hosea recorded. Again, let's go to Galatians chapter 6 in the New Testament. Keep your finger in chapter 13 of 2 Samuel. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians is right before Ephesians, right after the 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Way in the back. There we go. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sow, that he will also reap. For he who sow to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Keep your finger there also, because we're going to continue the remainder of verse. We will reap like a wind. What? Don't you have any more fingers? You have 10 fingers. Come on. Yeah. We will reap in the wind like a wind if we sow. And most of the time, it gets magnified. Whirlwind is obviously bigger than the wind we saw in the scene. Even after we confess our sins and start the communion with God and have a close relationship with God, guess what happened? The consequences still remain. Let me make it in practical term. Let's say I was on top of this high build fence and goofing around and making only like a type of walking and fall around, lost balance, I fall and break my left arm. Okay, I regret that I did stupid thing and repent from it and saying to God, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Is my arm healed? I still have a broken arm. That means I have to walk around with a cast on my arm. Just because we repent from our sin, that doesn't mean consequences will be gone like that. It still remains. We still have to live with the consequences. That doesn't mean that we will not have the close communion. Yes, we can have a communion. We must live with the consequences. That means including broken trust, painful memories, and bruised reputation, and fractured hearts. Pain of the reaping always eclipses the pleasure of sowing. Please remember that. Pain of reaping always eclipses pleasure of sowing. Let's read the remainder of the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8. But he who sowed the Spirit to the Spirit will of Spirit reap everlasting life. God can use that even the awful situation turning into the good if we trust Him. David's repentance truly restored him. Yes, he promised, God's promise toward his dynasty that would last for the centuries, indeed it lasts for centuries. And also from his loin, the Messiah came, the one who we call the Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Romans 5:20 says, you can write it down and take a look at it later, you guys know this, where sin abound, grace abound much more. That is true to his life. One night's ecstasy, one night's pleasure, one night stand, and the subsequent murder plot caused so much pain and tears in his life to his deathbed. Let's go into the chapter 12 of verse 10, please. Again, keep your finger in chapter 13 still. It's not that you don't have to go very far. Chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. Chapter 12, 2 Samuel, verse 10 and 11. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we know, our hindsight is always 20/20. To have a better hindsight, let us learn from other people's mistake. You didn't put this awful, tragic situation in the Bible for no reason. You put it there for us to learn from it, as you said in 1 Corinthians. So we are asking you to teach us that we may not sow into the wind and reap in whirlwind. Heavenly Father, let us walk in the path of righteousness by the power of the Holy Spirit for your name's sake. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nathan forecast the pain that David would go through, endured in a simple and profound sentence. Verse 10 of chapter 12, 2 Samuel. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart. Underline, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me. Ladies and gentlemen, underline, double underline, circle, I don't care what you do with it, put that thing in your heart, put that thing in my heart. You despised me. Any sin we commit against God is the same thing as despising Him. In God's eyes, there is no such a thing as a big sin or a small sin. So whenever we say no to God, no to God's word, and we want to do what we want to do, that become despising God. It's that serious. And verse goes, continue, and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I'll raise up adversity against you from your own house. Will take your wives before your eyes, will give them to your neighbor. He shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. We're going to find out this prophecy will be fulfilled in the chapter to come. We can trace the line of David's sin with Bathsheba in 8 consequences. We already found one consequence that by the death of his own the newborn baby between him and Bathsheba in last study. Now, we are going to find that 4 different consequences from this study and three more to come. So let's start with the first one. Verse 1 of chapter 13, finally. Amnon is raping his half-sister Tamar. Verse 1. After this, Absalom, son of David, had a lovely sister whose name is Tamar. And Amnon, son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, and for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. Absalom and Tamar was the children of David and Makar. And Makar is the daughter of the Talmai, the king of Geshur. It's a foreigner. David chose to marry to the foreign king's daughter to make it as an ally, which he shouldn't have done that kind of thing according to the law of God, but he chose to do. It was a start of this kind of strategic marriage. It's a stupid thing to do. He should have depended on God more than foreign kings. Anyway, then Amnon is the first son between him and Anoheim from Jezreel. Amnon is the one who loved his half-sister Tamar. And that love is not true love. It's a passion of incestuous lust. That's what it is. According to Mosaic law, the marriage to the sister or the half-sister or incest is strictly forbidden. The name Tamar means, if you want to jot it down, Tamar means palm tree, means for the fruitfulness. And Absalom means his father's peace. And Amnon's name means faithful and stable. None of them found their future according to their names, because their future was all twisted. Verse 3 of chapter 13, let's continue. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, and the son of Shimei, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, why are you, the king's son, becoming the thinner day after day? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. But Jonadab said to him, lie down on your bed and pretend to be ill. When your father comes to see you, say to him, please let my sister Tamar come and give me food and prepare the food in my sight. I may see it and eat it from her hand. Then Amnon lay down and pretend to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let my sister come and make a couple of the cakes for me in my sight, and I may eat from her hand. And they sent home to Tamar, saying, now go to your brother Amnon's house and prepare the food for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was lying down. So then she took the flour and kneaded, made it in a cake in his sight, and baked baked the cakes. And she took the pan and placed them out before him, but he refused to eat. Then Amnon said, have everyone go out from me. Then then all went out from him. Then the Amnon said to the Tamar, bring the food into the bedroom that I may eat from your hand. Tamar took the cake which she had made, brought him to the Amnon, her brother, in the bedroom. Jonadab, the cousin of the Jonadab was a cousin for the Amnon as well as Tamar. In my opinion, he is scum. Simply pointed. I mean, he's a totally weasel. See, he's riding the coattail of a twisted individual like this Amnon. There's a great Hebrew description for this kind of individual. Ted Kennedy for John Kerry. Did you get it? Some people didn't get it. You watch. If John Kerry get going to the White House, you'll find out that Ted Kennedy was behind the whole thing. Because he couldn't make it into presidential candidate. He's been supporting this junior senator from the same state all this time. He's right behind. Amnon's lust for his sister has made him obsessive. He was heading for the destructional course. And not only he's going down drain, he tried to take the other people with him. From this passage and the other passage, you will find that somehow David is very passive. And at the same time, he's indulgent. What do I mean? Since he has problem with many wives and many children, and obviously he's busy because of state business, so he doesn't spend a whole lot of time with the family. Remember what I said at the beginning of this teaching. Many people can handle business, big organization, big troop. But same time, they cannot handle their family. Why? Because they don't get involved. They don't want to spend time with the family. Let me put it this way. As a born-again Christian, more than your ministry, your family should come first. Foremost important thing is God. Second thing is ministry called family. Then you should get involved with the ministry in the church. I'm not saying the call of God should come behind. Call of God is done by God, so that comes before your family. I am called to be a pastor. That has nothing to do with ministry that I am involved. Don't get confused. Call of God is done by God. However, if you cannot handle your family, before you take care of your ministry, you got to take care of your family first. You saw the qualification as elders and the deacons. That does not only apply to the deacons and elders, also it applies to just about everyone who is involved with the ministry. If we cannot handle our own family, why should we take care of other people? It is important for us to take care of our own family. We should make a peace, every effort to make a peace in our own family before we go any further. Because he's not doing this kind of thing, like a lot of fathers in America, a lot of fathers around the world, since I cannot give you time, I'll give you money. I'll let you do whatever you want to do. Being indulgent. Let's go to verse 11. Now when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, and force no such a thing should be done in Israel. Do not do these disgraceful things. And I, where could I take my shame? And as for you, you should be like one of those fools in Israel. You should be, rather. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not hear her voice, being stronger than she. He forced her and laid with her. Amnon is a spoiled, rotten, bratty prince who will not take answer no from anyone at any cost. Listen carefully, please. Victim of the rape or molestation sometimes speak strongly about the humiliation they have to endure more than the pain they have to suffer for. If you are a victim of this kind of act of violence, it is not your fault that you had to go through. Please listen. And it is not fate that you had to endure all of this. However, God can make something good out of that awful past of yours. You can find the strength, you can find the peace, you can find the comfort, and you can find shelter in the arms of loving God. Let's continue in verse 15. Now, second consequence, Amnon hates Tamar. Then the Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, "Arise, be gone." So she said to him, "No, indeed, this evil of sending me away is worse than the other that you did to me." But he would not listen to her, and then he called his servant who attended him and said, "Here, put this woman out, away from me." Bolt the door behind her. Verse 18. Now she had on a robe of many colors, for the king's virgin daughter wore such an apparel. And his servant put her out and bolted the door behind her. Then the Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her robe in many colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went away crying bitterly. And Absalom, her brother, said to her, "Has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now hold your peace, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take these things to heart." So Tamar, they remained desolate in her brother's Absalom's house. But the king, David, underlined, King David heard of all these things. What did he say? He did nothing. And he was very angry. And Absalom spoke to his brother Amnon neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Amnon's idea of love, turning in, showing the true color here. From the incestuous lust, turning into hatred. That's what it is. Single-minded lust, Amnon only had built up on the example of his father David. David was not dominated by his lust like Amnon did. However, he did not control his lust. For example, how many wives did he have? Many. And if that was not enough, he could get more legally. But he chose to go behind. He had a one-night stand with Bathsheba, adultery, and that came to the committing murder. So Amnon has a great example to follow, his father, who couldn't control his own lust. Tamar was to Amnon is a simple reminder of his sin. So he wanted to get rid of him like a dirty sack of laundry. How did David handle this as a judge of the nation and a protector of his home? What did he do? He got angry. Well, he should be angry. What else did he do? Nada. Why he was so passive? Again, as I said, he couldn't go any further because in his heart, he already made a bad example. He has a track record of lust. So he couldn't tell his own kid, why you do this kind of thing? Like a man father who cannot tell his son, why you smoking dope? Remember the commercial? Because you do that. The father cannot tell the son, don't do that kind of thing while he's doing it. Now, Tamar was expecting father to come to rescue her and restore her dignity with a severe and swift justice. What Amnon did, it deserved death. He should have taken care of it. Since the father chose not to do it, so his brother, Absalom is going to get involved. He's going to take care of it with a sword. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen carefully. If you don't take care of the discipline, child discipline, you will regret. You heard this from my previous comment. You know, Chinese proverb? Some of you guys remember. By end of the day, whip the child. You may not know why you're whipping, but he knows why you're being whipped. Kids knows why they get whipped. If you spare the rod, you will spoil the child, the Bible says. I'm convinced that the main problem today in Christian home is lack of example and discipline. Somehow, many parents think that their child is somehow angel. Trust me, that angel is a sinner, just like the rest of us. And that child we have, let's not think that that child is not somewhere in between old kid and the Ming Dynasty precious vase. They need discipline, they need example from us. How we can administer discipline to them when we don't do the things that we are telling them not to do? It's hard. It takes time to give an example. It takes time to give them where to go. If we don't do that, the kids don't know where to go, what to do. Discipline is important, but example is more important. If you're going to discipline your children, you have to show them how to walk according to God's way. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Do not withhold the correction from the child, for if you beat him with the rod, he will not die." That doesn't mean you beat the snot out of the kid until he dies. If you think that, you know, applying the board of education on the seat of learning will take the kid apart, guess what? That kid will be coming to the pieces in the future. It is important for us to give a right discipline. I've seen, as you know, I went to the Bulgaria and coming back, it's like scratching the nail on the chalkboard when you sit next to this kid who cries 9 hours all the way. I'm thinking about, why don't I just step outside of the airplane sitting under the wing? That might be better than just sitting next to this kid who cry all. The parents is oblivious because they hear the child crying all day long, so they think that no big deal. And the rest of about 400 people, 200 people is dying inside the airplane. It is important for us to correct the children. Little whack on the boom boom won't kill the child. Let's continue in verse 23. Of course, we have to do all of that with the fairness, firmness, and love of God, and love of our parents. Verse 23. And it came to pass, after 2 full years, that Absalom had a sheep sheared in the Baal-Hazor, which is near Ephraim. So the Absalom invited all the king's sons, and then Absalom came to the king and said, "Kindly note, your servant has a sheep shearer. Please let the king and his servant go with your servant." But the king said to Absalom, "No, my son, let us not go, all go now, lest we be a burden to you." But he urged him, but he would not go. And he blessed him. Then Absalom said, "If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us." Then king said to him, "Why should he go with you?" But Absalom urged him, so he let Amnon, all the king's son, go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, "Watch now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when I say to you, strike Amnon, then kill him. Do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be courageous and valiant." So the servant of Absalom did to Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each one got on his mule and fled. Absalom planned a murder of his brother for 2 years. He's been grinding his axe for the last 2 years because of his rape. Also, there's a good possibility he can make a bid on the toward his throne. Now remember, Amnon was the firstborn. That means he's the one crown prince. Once he's gone, there's a good possibility for him to take over that position. See, as prophet mentioned, the sword is starting to fly in the family of David. Let's continue in verse 30. And now it came to the pass, while they were on the way, then the news came to the David, said that Absalom has killed all the king's sons, and not one of them is left. Verse 31, so the king arose and tore his garment and lay on the ground, and all the servants stood by with their clothes torn. Wouldn't you like to be the garment supplier for the king's coat? Then Jonadab, son of the Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lords suppose they had killed all the young men, king's son, for only Amnon is dead. For by command of Absalom, this has been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. I told you he's a weasel. Verse 33, now therefore, let not my lord the king take things to his heart, to think that he, all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead. And then Absalom fled, and the young man who was keeping watch lifted his eyes and looked, and there many people were coming from the road on the hillside behind him. And Jonadab said to him, the king, look, the king's sons are coming. As your servant said, so it is. So it was, as soon as he had finished speaking, the king's son indeed came, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years, and the king David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amnon because he was dead. If you notice that King David did not react as a surprise, he just mourned for his son. That means he knew the evil attitude of Absalom already. King's son Absalom went to the Geshur, and he stayed there for 3 years. At this point, king lost 3 sons already. Newborn baby, Amnon, and Absalom for 3 years. There was no communication between David and Absalom. And he lost another daughter, Tamar. What happened? Why? Why all this thing happened? Because he chose not to be a good example. It didn't happen to him accidentally. He chose not to be a good example. Can he start? Yes, he can start at that point. But he chose not to. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, please. Just because you were not good father or mother, that doesn't mean you cannot change it. You can start right now. You can start to become a good example for your children to follow and start to discipline. If they don't listen to you, that's up to them. They make their own choice. But you got to do what you got to do according to God's word. Let's make application. Number one, discipline children according to God's way, not according to worldly way, not even the Christian psychological way. What do I mean? We need to discipline our children according to this word. If you really want to find out about how to raise the children the right way, read Proverbs. There's plenty of them. child discipline issue is the third reason for the marital conflict. First one is finance. Second one is infidelity. Third one is child discipline. If husband and wife don't agree in the children's discipline, I feel real bad for you. You need to agree. I'm not asking you to do one person's way. I'm asking you to do it according to God's way. I'm not asking you to do according to the psychologists in the world. I'm not asking you to do, not even Christian psychologists, to their recommendation. The self-esteem of the children is full of garbage. They already have enough self-esteem problem. What they need is their pride to be shaved off a little bit, according to God's way. Again, as I said, you have to minister discipline according to God's way, and with fairness and firmness and love. Never to disagree and argue in front of children. You do that, you're giving the green light to those children to split with you too. Especially if you have a blended family, you're going down in spiral cord real fast. Never to disagree and argue in front of your children. They will manipulate your relationship. Always do it behind the closed door. Let's say here's a Charlie, here's a Susie, and then Charlie has a couple kids, and Susie has a couple kids in his blended family. If Susie's kid is causing problems, Charlie never disciplined that kid. Has to be done by Susie, but it has to be done together, behind the closed door, agreed, and disciplined the kid according to God's way. If you don't do it that way, Susie's kid will tell Charlie, "You're not my father." What are you going to say? Nothing. That is true. So you have to do it according to God's way with the agreement from both of you. I know some of you guys are already grandpas, so you say, "That doesn't apply to me." Well, you can tell your children about it, so they don't learn how to do it. Second implication, let us trust God let's trust that God can bring something great from the most horrible situation. You may say, "You have no idea what I went through. You're right, absolutely right. I have no idea. But we can still learn from, and God can still make the best of it. Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, please. Matthew 19, verse 26. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew 19. Probably this young man is thinking, "What did I come in for?" Child discipline, this is a good subject. Verse 26 of chapter 19. Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." So don't think that your past cannot be used by God. If you're thinking that, let's go to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. You guys know this by heart. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. And one more verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. This is God's promise to us. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So if you went through that horrible past, horrible situation, God can use that to minister to other people who are going through. God can use anything. If God can use Satan for his glory, God can use us, God can use our horrible past. Take a heart. Let's stand up and pray.